In the name of the God who made us, the Son who fixed us, and the Holy Spirit that keeps us under repair. And this little envelope may help that. Amen. Please sit down. Well, good morning to you again. And isn't it good that we have good mornings, especially together? And those of you who were with us last week know that we had an exceedingly good morning as we had our bishop here and a celebration and a reconnecting in some ways with the Diocese of the Northeast Caribbean and Aruba, though they have never been very far away. There's always been a priest in charge. Father Charlie served at the behest of the bishop in this place. He is now gone, and Father Rollins, together with Philip, are in charge of the ministry of the parish, and some lucky folks like myself and others who are begging me to put their name in the hat get to come down and visit with you. And it's a joy to be here. This is my 17th time, but it is our 16th season together. I came once for Father Charlie for Christmas. Some of you remember then. It's a good time when we are gathered together and we celebrate together. In fact, it seems to me that when things get really tough, a party is what we all want to have. For it's somehow the joy and the love that we share together in parties that brings about a healing balm in our lives. And if any time in our lives we have needed that, just outside of conditions of war and severe famine, we need that kind of love and joy today, because so many are feeling vulnerable. So many are feeling afraid. Maybe you feel it every time you go to the airport and wonder if the plane will fly today. Maybe you wonder when you see a stranger walking down the street, perhaps with the hoodie pulled over his head or her head. And you wonder. You wonder because just under the surface of us beats a heart of fear. And more so today, as we read the newspapers, as we consider world events, as we live through some of those tragedies, even personally in our own lives. Some of this has been brought about by the chances and changes of this mortal life, but some of these have been brought about by particular decisions that get made. Decisions that tend to heighten our anxieties. And so it was in the situation in England when Brexit was voted and the whole issue of parting with the common market, as I continue to call it, the European Union as it was later termed. As the separation began and people really began to become so very in the streets fearful, there was a movement that began in England, and it has transferred over to the United States. For lack of a better word, I'll call it the safety pin movement. And so I want you today to participate in that movement, and I provided at the end of the pews an envelope with safety pins in it. Take one, if you will. At least hold it in your hand for a moment. Back in our college days, perhaps you remember this term. You got pinned. Remember that? You got pinned. Does that ring any bells with you? You know, it was kind of the first step of becoming closer together, a bonding, if you will. And when you got pinned, the titter and the tatters spread around the campus and whatnot, and you know, he's hers and she's his, and you know, looks like maybe there's a future for them. And so it was, we got pinned, and sometimes we actually really did get pinned and it hurt, but that's all right. Love was in the air and we enjoyed ourselves immensely, but it was the first step. I think that one of the things that we're observing right now is people who are willing to step up and are willing to get pinned, if you will, or at least willing to show their pin, are saying to people around, who may feel especially frightened or especially vulnerable, it is saying and sending a message that you're safe, that you have, in a sense, tied yourself to a mission and ministry of holding together and holding up one another, even when the going gets extremely anxious. I wear my pin, and I was on a recent, we were on a recent cruise in the Mediterranean, and I wore the pin every day, and so I warn you ahead of time, if you should be so brave to wear your pin out in public, you may get some strange kinds of responses. One of them is the shifty eye response, I call it. The eyes from your eyes to that, your eyes to that, your eyes to that, you know, back and forth. You know, and you can just see the question beginning to emerge in the person's mind. What the dickens is that? Did they sew up something and forget to take out the safety pin? You know, all sorts of reactions. You'll also get a response with somebody just coming up to you out of the blue and saying, thank you. They understand. They know the story. And they're thanking you for being someone to be identified in the midst of the people as a safe person, one to whom a vulnerable person can move closer to with a sense of security and acceptance. Oh, you'll get lots of different kinds of responses. Most of the time, you'll get no response at all. You might even begin to check and see if it's still there. You know, and I find myself doing that because as I change clothes, especially down here on the island, where's my pin? Did I put it on the t-shirt? You know, so you yourself get attached to the pin. And the pin can serve you especially during this season of Lent. Lent, traditionally, as the band that Philip and the diocese are providing you today, Lent has traditionally been a time in which we personally took care of ourselves. We fasted. We prayed. We especially did something that would mark our attention to the holy and to the season of Lent. Lent, you see, is a great love story. It's probably the greatest love story that's ever been told. And we have a choice, as we've seen both in the lesson, and if you read the Old Testament lesson this morning, it's about Adam and Eve. We have a choice. Jesus had a choice. He had a choice to go ahead and give in to the devil and to take him up on his gracious offer. But he had to choose, and he knew that the choice was important. We have a choice. You have a choice with a safety pin. If you find yourself like I do, sometimes I don't have a safety pin. Well, I hope it's still around, and I hope it'll recall for you something of what it means to your work and your ministry, especially during the season of Lent. Because you can fast and you can pray and you can do all these things personally, but there's a great tendency that you and I have. The tendency is to make it all about me. And the great love story of Lent, pointing to Easter and the joy of our Lord resurrected after death, is that it's not about me. It's about all of us. All of us together. I've been doing a lot of reading in genetics lately, a field that I know nothing about, and I was very poor in my sciences. But genetics has to do with our genes and all the way back to the molecular structure in our bodies and to the very heart of the cell of our body and a nucleus inside of that cell. And inside of that is something called DNA. You'll probably know all these stories already about DNA, but it's what we carry in our blood from the very beginning of creation. From the smallest of whatever life form there was, and maybe we'll find some of those in one of the seven planets, has emerged and developed into you, me. And it's really quite amazing when you take that view of creation. But one of the things at the heart of all of this is something that beats in that cell. It's called mitochondria DNA. And I was absolutely amazed in studying the flow of mitochondria DNA, especially through the female line 45,000 years ago that has led to our tribes on this planet. It's like a little engine, and it's firing all the time in our cells, and that's how come you have a body temperature of 98.6. Where does the heat come from? It's actually coming from the combustions that are taking on inside of our bodies. God provided that spark inside of you and inside of me, and we call that spark the energy of love. That energy of love is what is available and open to us every day, every breathing moment, and especially during the season of Lent. Because that's a time in which we can get really back in touch with ourselves. Take your pulse. Feel your pen. Understand that you walk on this face of this earth because there are others who join you and walk with you. Some are not particularly kind. Some are aggressive. Some are very helpless. We're all in the boat together. We all have to learn our parts. We're part of a crew that's taking us into tomorrow. There's a marvelous book out by an Israeli from Hebrew University called Homo Deus. It's about the history of tomorrow, which is kind of interesting. How do we know about the history of tomorrow? We know about it as we look back over our shoulders about where we've come from. How, as creatures, we've been able to cure diseases. People, instead of dying from hunger now, they die from overeating. There's actually a greater chance of you dying from binging on McDonald's hamburgers than from a terrorist attack. There's all sorts of things we've conquered in the earth. And we have a future that will still be pulsating in our bodies, and it is a future born of love. As you journey this Lent, consider that love beating in your very bodies. Feel that pin as a reminder that you have been pinned to God, as well as you are a safe person to others. And walk in joy and walk in love. Not with ashes on your forehead or the beating of your chest because of what you consider sins and unredeemable features. Actually, God doesn't look upon them because he loves you anyhow. Because you get it wrong, as Charlie would say, doesn't disassociate you from the love of God. So as you journey this Lent, journey in that love. And that will make your Easter an Easter to be remembered. Amen.